Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's the second to last game of the season as the Padres are up in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. And we've got Mike Grace here, and not just because he works cheap.
I like to think it's because I do such a fantastic job on the show, but
I like your attitude.
Right?
I like your attitude
to tell myself that.
He also likes to think he's got boots as nice as our other host, Randy Jones, but not so much.
I was pretty excited to be able to match Randy.
No.
He doesn't wear boots.
It's not
like
even in
this.
The same.
But they're boots.
Yeah, it's a nice zipper on the inside of them, too. That's cute.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Randy Jones.
You can smell the end of the 2015 San Diego Padres baseball season.
Yes.
It's so close.
And what is that smell like?
It's a little burnt. I hope it doesn't mean I'm having a stroke.
Maybe it's burnt wood or hot leather.
It's been a rough season for the most part, and it's kind of sliding into that end, so gracefully with the injuries this team's dealing with right now, the players that they're throwing out there. It's not that fun.
Well, honestly, we Padre fans have been there before.
We have.
We have.
Hey, you have been there a lot.
Many moons. Eternal optimist, though.
Yeah.
You know, spring turns, you just, I get all fired up every spring, brand new. Let's see what we got. Can we play together? Can we make something happen? I hope so.
Lots to talk about. We'll get to last night's game eventually. We're going to kind of put it off for now as much as we can. It wasn't that fun. There were some good performances. Basically, one bad inning, like we've seen so many times this year, just one bad inning just really wrecked it. But, man, it's been an interesting day already in baseball, just with the pennant races. Most of the divisions are settled, but the AL West is still really exciting. And just a little while ago, you thought Texas was about to win the division, put it all away. And
why would you think that? 10-6 on the top of the ninth?
10-6, top of the ninth, at Ranger Stadium.
Yep.
And the Angels score 5. They come back, take the lead.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Our old buddy Matt Latos, a big part of the crash there. And, I mean, crazy. I mean, this guy got DFA'd by the Dodgers a few weeks ago. Now he's in the middle of a pennant race with the Angels out of their bullpen. And, yeah, a couple home runs, hit. And you said you had just happened to sit down and start watching this one at the perfect time, right?
I really did. Top of the ninth inning, I sat down and turned on Fox to watch it and saw the home runs and, you know, then a little bloop double by Pool Holst to kind of keep it going. The Rangers kind of boxed that a little bit. But then, hey, give it to the Angels. They clutched up when they had to. And it was just absolutely incredible.
So
I could not believe it.
Really interesting because Houston had control of this division for most of the summer. Looked so great. And they've just hit the skids. The Angels have been playing really well. The Rangers had been playing really well. And now, so if Houston wins today, they get to one game back of Texas. I think it basically secures them at least a playoff to get into the playoffs for that last wild card spot.
Yeah, it secures that.
So if they win today.
If they win. Now, if they lose, that means Texas is automatically in.
Yes, that gets them the division.
And then now we have the Angels and
Houston. For that last
wild
card, because the Twins were officially eliminated today. So you're kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty there. Kind of pulling for AJ in Houston.
Absolutely amazing, though. It comes down to game 162. It might be a 63.
Might be a 163.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. You know, we've talked a lot. I'm not a huge fan of the one-game wild card. I would love to see. I think a three-game series is right. It doesn't need to be more than that. Three games just seems right. And whatever. Penalize these wild card teams for not winning their division. They got to keep playing right after the season. You get those division winners a few extra days off. Now, I know there's TV considerations and things like that to make sure everybody gets to see those games and they can maximize revenue. But that one-game playoff to see if you get in the playoffs, the Padres have been there, that's about as exciting as it gets.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what the wild card becomes.
You should have played better in April.
I absolutely love the fact that there is such an advantage to winning your division. Because when you play 162 games, you really want those teams that play so well over the course of that schedule to be rewarded for
That's correct.
And I love that fact. Now, I still think there is a significant advantage even if you change the wild card to be a three-game series, because still, any team can win a three-game series. I think once you get to 5 and 7, outside of, you know, maybe having an amazing pitcher on an amazing run that gets 3 starts somehow, the better team's most likely going to win.
I agree. I would agree with that in through that gambit. But I do. I like the one-game playoff. Whether it be fair or unfair, you know, hey, it is what it is. Like I said, you should have played better early.
You should.
You know, get over it. Yeah. That's why everybody says, well, you certainly can't win it, you know, a championship in the first half of the season, but you can sure lose it.
You really can.
You really can.
In the end, every game matters equally.
That's right.
I mean, a game in April counts the exact same in September. Now, the way it fluctuates in the standings, you can make it seem in your head that there's a difference.
Those games in September are more pressure packed
right.
than the ones in April. But still, they're just as important.
And the Houston Astros are a perfect example of that.
That's a great call.
They played so well through basically July and into August that they're showing you how much those games mattered. You take a team like Oakland last year that played so well for the first half of the season
yes.
and kind of on the exact same type of a schedule.
Ran out of gas,
still made it to the playoffs but had to play that wild card. And, you know, you'll take your chances. You take your chances in a baseball game. Anybody can win one single baseball game.
Right.
So get to the dance. And I think we've seen that over the years, especially most recently. Just get into the playoffs. No matter how you do it, anything can happen once you get into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I know one thing. I'm going to find the TV. You know, and I don't know the schedule of the games yet. I haven't looked. But whenever Pittsburgh, you know, is going to play, you know, a wild card game against the Cubs.
Boy, that's going to be a fun one.
I'm going to watch that.
And I think they pretty much wrapped up the home field for that singular game.
I was just going to mention home field advantage is so big, too, even the Dodgers and the Mets.
No, I really want to get into that with
you. That is really big.
So we'll set it up here. The Mets lost earlier today. And they have to play a doubleheader because of all the crazy weather on the East Coast with the hurricane coming. So they've got a doubleheader. I think they started their second game, right, Bloop, about half an hour ago. So if they win that game, I think that gets them to a game back of the Dodgers, making Sunday still matter. If they lose that game, then the Dodgers get that home field advantage for the division series.
That's really big because the Dodgers have not played well in New York. At Citi Field, they have not.
They are one of the teams in the playoffs because the National League teams are so great that does not play well on the road.
Yeah.
So you would say
great call.
This is a very important series for them and the Mets to try to get that home field advantage. But in general, what do you feel about home field advantage in baseball? I mean, there's different dimensions, different parks play differently. Obviously, it's always great to have your own crowd. How important is home field advantage in baseball? I mean, you know, football, other sports, it's very different.
I think it's big. I think it's really big. I mean, it's your mound. Your pitchers are pitching off their mound. It's very unique for, especially your starting pitchers, to struggle on their own mound in their own ballpark. You know, it's kind of, that's really rare. You know, but you really can struggle on the road in various ballparks. But at home, I think that's a distinct advantage. I mean, your clubhouse, all the whole atmosphere, how you come into the ballpark, the routines there. I just think you're a lot more comfortable, and especially in the playoffs, I think that'd be a real big advantage.
Sleeping in your own bed, all
everything,
those things, that all kind of matters,
things,
right?
You betcha.
Okay. And, it's always interesting. You know, Blooper and I kind of had this conversation off the side saying, you know, what is important, who knows? And it's always different. It's probably different for every single player because, I mean, you know, we've heard some guys just like to get out on the road, stay away from family, don't have to worry about tickets, all kind of that nonsense. But, you know, it's just important, those games.
Yeah, I think when you get to the playoffs, it's a different animal.
And especially for
that
Dodgers-Mets series, which it's going to be, to get Greinke and Kershaw on the road, not having to face them 2 games in a row at Dodger Stadium.
Correct.
You need to get one. It's almost like you have to beat one of those guys in those first 2 games to win
that
series.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's going to be so hard to win that series if you don't win one of those first 2 games against those 2 guys. And those might be the 2 best pitchers on the planet right now.
For a 1-2 punch on a team, I don't think there's a better one out there right
now. No, I can't imagine anybody coming up with a better one right now. And, I mean, when you're talking all time, that they are having historically good seasons. And I want to get into that a little later with the National League Cy Young Award because that's going to be a really interesting vote.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think it's an easy choice?
Yep.
Let's just get into it.
I certainly do.
Listen, who you got?
Arrieta.
I agree.
22 wins. Second half he's had a 1.77 ERA. The impact he's made on that Cub team, what the Cubs have done this year, being a Midwest team, a lot of votes, more votes on the East Coast. Let's you know the Midwest than there are on the West Coast. Our games are always late, you know. And phenomenal year, don't get me wrong, by Greinke.
Yeah, the
Kershaw,
guy he's gonna have
and
a
Baumgartner,
one,
all West Coast guys.
A 1.61 ERA, and he's not gonna win the
no.
And deservedly so. I mean, because Arrieta's what 1.81.
Like, well, if you want to have some fun today, why don't we have blooper? Let's have a little bet. The over and under, how many innings it takes Kershaw to get his 6 strikeouts so he has 300. How about that
one?
Yeah. How many innings will he go? He's going to get 300 and shut it down?
It depends. Depends on if that game matters or not.
Yeah.
If that game doesn't matter, I probably wouldn't even start him.
Oh, no. He's getting those 6 punch-outs. He wants 300 punch-outs.
I'm sure he wants it.
We'll do it.
What's more important, though?
Well, hey, it's your turn to pitch in the rotation, so go ahead and keep on your regular rotation.
So
don't be taking a day off.
Who would you start first if you're the Dodgers in the playoffs?
Greinke.
Really?
I would.
And that probably does make sense because Kershaw has struggled so much recently in his last couple playoff starts.
Kershaw has been following Greinke all year. And so I would, I wouldn't flip-flop it.
Not all year, right? I mean, Kershaw was your opening day starter.
Yeah, but then injuries or whatever. But here the last seemed like the last 8 starts. Greinke, Kershaw, it's been that way.
It's important to keep those guys on their rest.
I just think it's a
when
would
game
process.
1 be, Bloop?
Friday night.
So Friday night. So I guess he probably wants to get work since he's going to get those 5 days
definitely.
Off no matter what. So he's going to pitch Sunday no matter what, basically. But I mean, if that game doesn't matter, why would he go more than 3 innings, no matter what happens? Why take the chance?
And whenever he gets
why
six,
take the chance
whenever
of,
you get
of
the
Cody Decker just lining the ball up the middle at 112 miles
hasn't
per hour?
Hasn't been done since 2002.
What, somebody hitting a comebacker off Kershaw?
No, 300 strikeouts in a season. It's phenomenal.
No, it is. It's kind of like that football argument when a team gets to 14-0, 15-0, and they've got everything locked up in the playoffs. The home field is secured, and what's more important, resting your guys, getting them ready for the playoffs, or kind of making
or
that
history?
Or staying
unbeaten, yeah.
It's such a debate.
Between a rock and a hard place.
It really is. I mean, whatever. I
like it all.
You do.
It's good.
Part of the sport. If it's me, I'd shut him down. I'd give him a couple innings, make sure almost like a simulated game or a bullpen session.
If
just
you
don't
shut
take
him down,
any chances.
You'd be the only guy I know that have a black eye the next day.
If it gets you a ring in the end.
I'd punch you. I would. I'd punch you.
It's because you.
I want my 300 strikeouts.
It's because you lefties are.
294.
Are so
come on, man.
Crazy.
You get that close, go for it. I love it. It's a game.
It is a game. It's going to be fun. This is going to be a good playoffs. I'm usually once the Padres are out of it and the playoffs start, I'm usually kind of a little depressed. I don't really want to watch too much more baseball. But as good as the Central is, that wild card game is going to be unbelievable.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. And then they're going to go play a 100-win Cardinal team.
That's incredible.
I mean, dealing with their injury issues and whatnot, but man.
Did not the Cardinals have to win 100 games to clinch? Isn't that correct?
Yes.
That's unheard of.
Well, and we talked about that before, too, in that before the season, everybody said, you really got to get to 88 wins to get to the playoffs. Didn't even get you close in the National League this year.
Not in the Central.
Not in the Central, not in the wild cards. I mean,
exactly.
Kind of close in the West and in the East, but, yeah, I mean, you had to win. You're going to end up having to win 91 games, basically, to make the playoffs. Now, the American League, that number is still going to stand. But
well,
you know,
talk about how about last night, the Astros facing the Diamondbacks. I mean, really, 3 touchdowns?
They poured it on, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Shouldn't you save some of those? I guess you can't. It didn't work that
if
way.
If only it worked that way.
22 runs?
Well, I know you sat in the dugout sometimes and said, hey, save some of those for me, boys.
Yo, can I have a couple tomorrow?
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about last night's game. I want to talk about Casey Kelly. The numbers didn't look good in the end, but I would say he looked much better than his last start, so I want to break that down with you. Oh, or maybe
really?
Not.
Really?
Maybe not.
Hey, let's argue when we get back.
All right, we'll do that. Okay. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. He's Randy Jones. I'm Mike Grace. Two games left in this season. Last night was one of three against the Dodgers. And, man, again, that one inning just sealed the fate, especially when you've got your outfield decimated. Your lineup isn't exactly the lineup that's going to go out there and put up a bunch of runs.
I mean, you got a pretty good idea. You're not going to get a lot of run support. Good time to go out and put some zeros on the board early.
So, Kelly, I thought Kelly looked pretty good. He's getting a lot of ground balls.
I thought he looked
the first couple innings.
For a couple innings.
And then, you know, gives up a few hits, and the defense fails him. I mean, there's no other way around it. So,
you mean one error?
There was one error, but at the same time, it compounded everything. And then you also had a double play that could have been turned that didn't if you had had, you know, a more skilled first baseman out there than Cody Decker.
Okay.
So I think you gave the Dodgers five outs in that inning.
Wow. So you're assuming the double play.
I mean, the ball was hit right at him on the base. If he fields it cleanly. He did it earlier. The exact same play. Cody Decker made that play earlier, and it was a double play.
Uh-huh.
And it would have got him out of the inning. I mean, the third run that scores, Adrian Gonzalez should have never been at third. And whatever. I mean, it's just Corey Spangenberg's trying to make a play. He makes a bad decision, and he tries to flip the ball backwards in a really, really tough play. Not going to be able to turn two, most likely. So just take the shirt out at first. It did not work out that way. And it just compounds things. And we've seen it so much, especially with Cashner this year. Andrew Cashner's had so much bad luck.
You know what? I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to for Cashner, you know, and Casey Kelly about last night. Yeah, there are mistakes. It is tough when you get extra outs. That doesn't give you a note to throw fastballs right down the middle or breaking balls right down the middle. I mean, what are you going to do, stop pitching? And that, I guess that if you're going to make yourself better, well, pick your infielder up. It's not an excuse to get your butt kicked, okay? It's not. I mean, you pride yourself and get out of the inning. Do some damage control and get out of the inning. And bail your infielder out every once in a while. They're going to bail you out plenty of times over the course of a year making a great play. And that's just the way I look at it. And I continue to watch these games, and I watch them like you do, Mike, and I get frustrated. All you got to do is make a couple of real quality pitches in those scenarios, and you don't get hurt. But if you keep making mistakes, and the ball's one hop on the wall in left field or in right center and left center, you know, after that just compounds it. That's when you got to get really good, not, you know, you got to learn from that.
I don't disagree with you. And when you're talking about a guy like Andrew Cashner, I agree. He's a veteran guy. He needs to step up and pick up his infielders when they fail him. Now, they failed him quite a bit this year, so that's a tough situation. But when you're talking about Casey Kelly, and now I know he's been here. He's pitched in the system for a while. But you've got a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, making his second big league start in 3 years.
Did you watch the game?
His confidence isn't there yet. I mean,
answer the question. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
Were those pitches right down the middle?
They were. Do you think he meant to throw them right down the middle?
Does that matter? If you're going to throw them down the middle, then you're going to probably pitch in El Paso. You got to make quality pitches. You don't get any better by patting him on the back. Hey, if we'd have made that double play, you'd have been sitting on the bench. That isn't doing him any favors. You don't get better by making excuses. Go out and make a quality pitch and get out of the inning. Don't give up five runs.
No, and this is a very chicken or the egg conversation we're having here.
Of course.
And for me, I totally get what you're saying.
I was more pissed when I got on the mound and I didn't pick up my infielder. You made an error.
And I guarantee you Casey Kelly felt the same way.
That he wasn't pitching like it. Okay? I'm not watching the same thing. Can't leave the ball in the middle of the plate. I don't care what situation. He looked great the first two innings. You know, change speeds, good movement on the baseball.
Right.
Liked it, you know. But you get a little flustered, you get in the stretch, and all of a sudden somebody makes an error. You know, hey, you just got to keep your composure, make quality pitches.
I agree. And I guess just my point is it's going to be tough on a kid that's just coming back. He hasn't pitched in the big leagues in 3 years. I mean, those are the guys you have to pick up right now. You expect your veterans to pick up your infielders. You got to pick those guys up.
Pick them up.
Pick them up. Pick each other up.
That's right.
You know, you say, don't throw the ball down the middle of the plate. Well, James Shields has given up 30-plus home runs. Ian Kennedy's given up 30-plus home runs. It's been a little bit of an epidemic with this team this year.
Oh,
it's
I concur, my friend. No, I.
So, you know, I mean.
That's a whole new night if you want to talk about starting pitching and expectations and what we got up from the product this year. My goodness.
Yeah.
Nothing close to what I anticipated.
No, it's been a bizarre
Nothing
year.
Close.
Hey, let's talk about the one good thing from last night. Cody Decker, he didn't get a hit in his start, but he did get an RBI.
RBI.
Hey, I mean, it sounded like he would rather have the hit than the RBI, but there's got to be something there that driving in a run, probably in the end. Now, it didn't work out towards the Padres' favor in a winning cause, but driving in a run, in theory, should be more valuable than a singular hit.
No.
No, he want that hit, right?
Right now, no. September, you haven't got a big league hit yet. Well, yeah, we need to get that done, you know, for the young man.
Yeah, well, maybe tomorrow against Kershaw, the lefty. I would imagine he might get that start at first base.
Might give another opportunity.
And, hey, if you're going to get a hit, make it off the best pitcher in the league.
Well, it sounds like, we got to, I don't know who's starting on Sunday, but it's going to be, you know, pitching staff.
I think Frank Garces is going to start.
Is he?
That's what I think I read today.
Did you read that?
Yeah, he's going to get one or two innings. It's going to be a bullpen day. So if everybody hadn't heard, James Shields is not going to get the start on Sunday.
You know,
they're
going to
go with the bullpen and get a look at all these guys, basically.
You know what? It's a great idea.
You like it?
I do like it.
Well, I mean, look, a guy we talked to last week, Jay Jackson, man, he's putting together some really nice innings. He had that rough start. He hadn't been in the big leagues before.
Well, you look at John Edwards, too.
I mean, he's looked really good.
He's settled down and looks really good on the mound, really comfortable. So, you know, they're going to get opportunity to hopefully pitch an inning tomorrow. I like it. Give them an inning.
I think they're all going to get an inning. Everybody out there is probably going to get
a little pressure, and you're just evaluating one more time, watching these guys on the mound, their presence, how they respond, what they do, a little pressure on them. Good.
Remind everybody out there, we are interactive. If you guys want to get your questions in, your comments in, use the Padres SH hashtag, Padres SH, or we've got the live chat, Padres.com/social hour. Get your questions in. Next segment, we're going to talk to Corey Brock. He's with the team up in LA. Talked to Corey one last time this season and, kind of get his thoughts on everything about 2015. And check with him one last time. It's funny, everything we're going to do, this is your last appearance on the show.
Yes.
We're gonna wrap everything up on Monday, but you're getting out of town as soon as possible to get a little vacation in.
I'm disappearing. Yes,
very
yes.
Well deserved. You've earned it, my friend.
I love it. It's been a good, good long hard year, but it's been a great experience here at Petco.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of positive.
It's been a lot of fun, even though the baseball hasn't always been great.
It hasn't been
great
what
moments.
We wanted. Yeah, but I mean, overall the experience, and I still love my game.
Oh, of course, you and your team.
Yep.
All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Corey Brock from Dodger Stadium in L.A. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Corey Brock on the Cholula Hotline when we come back right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. As we do our last of certain things here and there, we are talking to our good friend Corey Brock, who covers the team for MLB.com and Padres.com. He is joining us on the Cholula Hotline, probably for the last time this baseball season. And I guess, Corey, right off the bat, what are you going to remember about the 2015 Padres season, maybe 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And a loaded one, too. I think there were so many different unique twists and turns with all of this, even before the season started, certainly, with what was done to, revamp the roster, the talk about the Padres winning the offseason, kind of the buzz they created before they even played a single game. And then the season started, and certainly things didn't go as well as they had hoped. So I think it was kind of unfulfilled expectations. I think, I wouldn't say the bar has been lower in the past. It has been, I guess. I guess I could say that. I just did. So it was kind of a heightened expectations, and ultimately this team fell short for, I think, a lot of different reasons. And lost a very good manager along the way with Buddy Black getting dismissed. I think the team was the same for about 3 weeks after that happened, and by then, you know, they were well out of it. So just never a chance for this group to show any semblance of consistency. I think their longest winning streak is 5 games, and that's not going to get you into the postseason.
Yeah, Corey, you're right. You know, I couldn't describe it any better than you just put it. You know, and overall, I mean, the expectations are excitement that there was a possibility. You know, I mean, there was no factual thing, but it looked like the piece were there. If the pitching staff could have remained as consistent as it was in 14, you know, a lot of ifs involved at the start of the season. But, it had some characteristics to it where they could run off maybe 10 or 12 in a row and put winning streaks together like that.
Because the pieces that they acquired and they added, Randy, were notable pieces. These are former All-Stars. You know, these are guys with lengthy service time, and in some cases, you know, I don't necessarily mind any of the moves that they made. It's kind of winning now, go for it now mentality. I think maybe this is kind of what this what the town needed, what the franchise needed. So I don't fault them there. And, you know, I think what's interesting, guys, is, you know, we'll finish the season tomorrow here in L.A., and I think you'll look at the numbers of some of these guys, especially the newcomers, and the numbers will maybe kind of look closely akin to what they probably expected. You know, Matt Kemp, you know, 100 RBIs, Justin Upton, a whole lot of home runs, made Petco Park look small. James Shields, over 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. So where was the problem? You know, what happened there along the way where this team never really got it going? And I think that's a question that these guys will sit down beginning next week and kind of hammer around and, you know, kick around and try and get an answer for next year.
Yeah, and when you talk about retooling, you know, that's exactly what you're looking at here. We're going to have to make some decisions, and I think retool a starting rotation on the pitching side and maybe retool that infield.
And I think, you know, the way they're going to go about doing it, and I think this really bears mentioning, especially for the fan who watched A.J. Preller operate through his first winter last year, moving minor league pieces to gain major league assets and sort of this win now mentality. They can't do that now. You know, the farm system is not completely bare, but there aren't certainly that many notable pieces. So I think what's going to happen, guys, is they're going to have to move assets off their major league roster if they want to acquire pieces to help them get better for 2016 and beyond. So, and then you start taking a look at some of the inventory on the roster and guys you could move and guys that are going to get you probably the best bang for your buck.
Talking to Corey Brock here, talking about the future of the team, and a quick nuts and bolts question for you, Corey. Is there anything to be concerned about with Will Myers and the wrist soreness that he's experiencing right now?
No, Mike. You know, this the issue that popped up recently, the soreness, I think some of that was expected after surgery. And then I asked him, and he said this is kind of has more to do with a tendon issue that has to do with overuse, meaning that, you know, when this guy came back, he took a lot of swings. You know, he jumped back into it. You know, he wanted to play. You know, I think it was important for him to play once he came back after surgery. And I think, you know, just the other day it kind of caught up to him, probably taking a lot of swings and batting practice. And, the hand was sore. So, you know, will the wrist injury, surgery, the fallout of that be a lingering issue moving forward? Well, you know, I guess it will until it isn't. You know, we have to remember he had the right wrist injury in Tampa, and I know a lot of people sort of pegged him as being injury-prone, and, you know, he needs to go through a full season of being healthy to sort of answer that question. And I think we could all agree that the Padres were a much better team when he was in the lineup than when he wasn't.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, fatigue's a funny thing, especially tendons. You know, he came back pretty quick from that. And to get 100% strength in that tendon, and the way he swings, you know, probably going to take a little more time. And, you know, it's still good to see him out there swinging the bat before the end of the season. And even taking the last weekend off, that's fine. I just know he'll be healthy for 2016.
Yeah, and I think he's such an important piece moving forward, Randy. And, you know, you talk about how you're going to go about upgrading the roster. You have some options with Will now. You know, when Justin Upton leaves, and I think we can all agree that's probably going to be the case, can you slide Will Myers into left field, or can you move him to first base? I think we saw some good things. Look, he's probably one of the best athletes on the team, and his footwork at first, the arm strength is there. He just hasn't played the position a lot, but I think he could be fine there as well. I think he's a good enough athlete to play left field. Yeah, I think they've completely closed the door on center field, although I think the way the team sets up for next year, if you're looking at a Jankowski, Melvin Upton platoon, I think that could be okay if both those guys hit. That's a different issue for a different time. But I think as you have some flexibility now as you go in the offseason. Hey, do we try and find a thumper at first? Do we try and find a left-handed bat that can play left field? I think with Myers, you can move him around, and I don't think they've settled on this position yet.
Hey, Corey, I want your reaction. How about Corey Spangenberg and what he's done this year?
I really like him, Randy. And, you know, I was kind of looking at it. He's actually like one of the few true rookies that have been on this roster for any length of time this year. And, you know, I remember he had the knee injury there that ended up being a little bit worse than we initially thought when the kid from Arizona went in kind of hard, clean play and everything. But he's been very good. You know, I broke down some of his numbers last night. And, you know, he's about hitting about a little shade over 300 on base percentage, about 360 since June 2nd. This is a pretty good sample size of at-bats, closing in on about 200. So I think he's opened some eyes, and I would have to say that he's the odds-on favorite to win that second base job next year. Now, he's going to have to go out and win the job. We don't know what the team's still going to do with the rest of the infield. But as the season ends tomorrow, I'd have to think he's in a really good spot for 2016.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been really impressed with him this year, and if anybody's really shown that mark of improvement, even with the being sidelined for 6 weeks, whatever it was, you know, I've been impressed by Spangenberg.
Well, you know what else he's done, guys, and this is what's impressed me, is that he's won, and he's helped win a few games just with his speed. And, you know, for a team that's really devoid of much team speed and kind of being station to station just because of the lineup composition, I think he's kind of the perfect, I hate to say the perfect Petco Park player, because I don't know what that is anymore, but I think his game really sets up for Petco Park because he's a slasher. He's not making nearly as many bad outs, lazy fly balls as he was early in the year. He hit the ball in the gap. I remember he had a triple the other day on a ball down the right field line, and that's truly a double for anybody else. But, you know, he gets himself in scoring position at third base where a fly ball can get you a run, and sure enough, they got a run in there. So that speed really changes the complexion of the game, and I think they're really going to want to take a look at him and Travis Jankowski next year.
Is this a big start for Robbie Erlen tonight?
I don't know, Randy. I think, you know, his service time here with the Padres spread out over a couple years now is probably enough for them to sort of know what he is and what he's all about. And, you know, some days it's going to look really good. That last start against Arizona, 2 hits over 7 shutout innings. Not a lot of punch outs, you know, ball in play, working ahead. You know, I think they kind of know what he is. I think they kind of know what Casey Kelly is. It doesn't hurt to get any more extra looks, though. And, yeah, we'll see how he does against this Dodgers lineup today. But, you know, he's got to start landing that curveball a little bit more than he has.
I concur.
He's not going to throw the ball by too many guys. But, you know, he's a smart pitcher. He works fast. I like watching him. I'm left-handed, as you know. And we know another lefty sitting on the couch there. So, you know, it's just kind of fun to watch him work when he's going well. But, you know, again, like anybody else, he would have to win that job in spring training.
Talking to Corey Brock from MLB.com. One last topic. Obviously, Monday, I think A1 item for the Padres is going to be finding a new manager or keeping Pat Murphy in that role. What are you expecting from the team? Obviously, I don't want to ask you to make a prediction, but what do you think they're looking for in the next manager of this team?
Yeah, I've kind of been picking at AJ Preller a little bit, just trying to find out if he has any kind of preference one way or the other. And, you know, AJ never reveals his cards, no matter how much I dig. So, you know, whether it's a guy that's been managing in the game for a while, whether it's, you know, that new trend now, guys, with, you know, people who have not spent a lot of time in the dugout, if any time in the dugout, you know, getting a chance to manage a team. You know, I think what's important for him, and he told me that, you know, you want to make sure you have the best fit for your team. I think one of the most important elements now, and I think this is why Buddy Black was a very good manager, was because he managed people really well. And that's truly what this job is anymore. It's not the X's and O's. It's not standing on that top step of the dugout, you know, making the double switch or knowing when to pinch hit Brett Wallace. A lot of that game stuff tends to play itself out. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I could do it, Gracie, because I know I sure couldn't. But I think it's important for a manager to have a reach in the dugout and to have a way to connect with young, old players, Latin players, domestic players, just have a good way of conveying a message without beating on his chest. And I think that's what they're going to look for. They're going to look for a very good communicator, and they're going to look for a guy who's very, very good at managing people.
What's wrong with beating on your chest?
You probably played for a bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
Didn't you, RJ?
Come on. I like those guys.
Yeah, you wanted to choke them at the end of the year, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways of leadership. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. I just think the game has changed, as you know, and I think players are much more inquisitive now than they've ever been. They want to know why. And I'm sure, Randy, in your era, you know, a lot of that was, here's your marching orders. Go forward. Do not speak. You know, and it's just in the evolution of the times. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just what it is. Players are more inquisitive. They want to know some answers. Some of them deal into the sabermetrics on their own and study trends and things of that nature. So you have to find a way to reach everybody, and that's not a real easy trick to pull off.
Really good insight from Corey Brock. He covers the team for Padres.com and MLB.com. Corey, appreciate the time. Enjoy the last two games here. Hope bullpen day goes for you well, and we'll see you back in San Diego in
Thanks,
a couple
Corey.
Days.
Yeah, I'm not sure what inning I'm getting tomorrow, guys, but I'm ready to go.
Not a boy, Lefty.
Can't wait to see it.
Stay ready, man.
Thanks, Corey. Corey was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Get to today's lineup when we get back right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Where?
Go ahead. Just lay into him if you want.
I'm warning you. If Matt Kemp signs that baseball one time next year when I'm here, you're mine. I'm going to take you
Can
outside.
You just change it for the last two shows when he's
whiz.
Gone?
No, the first show next year that he's on, it's going to be all that Kemp footage, every break coming
I'm going to beat on you, Blooper.
So
I'm
good.
I'm telling you, you've been signing that baseball for a year now.
So good. All right, let's get to the lineup. It's presented, as always, by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Spangenberg leading off at second. Melvin Upton hitting second in center field. Solarte, Jerko, and cleanup at shortstop. Brett Wallace playing first. And Marista Hedges. Just Jankowski and Robbie Erlund on the mound. That is your starting lineup today. Basically, the big difference there, Brett Wallace at first instead of Cody Decker. I mean, this is what you've got when you've got that many guys hurt right now, which the Padres do. So, hey, I mean.
Well, I'm going to give some guys an opportunity. It's the last weekend. You know, and you're going to do it with the pitchers tomorrow. And, you know, I want to see these guys get some at-bats. I think you need to do that, you know. In Wallace, and what he showed you, hey, seems like he struggled a little bit with his starts. But as far as the pinch hitting role, I think he's pretty been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, at some point he's going to have to get a shot at a little more, I think.
Either that or, you know, maybe that's his role. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody's different.
Yeah, right now the Mets are scoreless in the fifth, so that could change tonight's dynamic as well. I mean, if they go out and lose, the Dodgers don't have quite as much incentive to win. So, you know, maybe Greinke doesn't go quite as long.
Good call.
Yeah, you never know.
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get the head-to-head challenge. I mean, this is getting absolutely down to the wire. It's as exciting as anything in baseball. I know I've said that before, but, I mean, it's truly thrilling, this head-to-head challenge.
Who's doing the last show tomorrow?
Bill Center and myself.
Oh, Bill Center's on the couch?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Kurt.
Well, that might factor into who I pick.
Right. And if I win today, tomorrow doesn't matter.
That's true.
That's a big if.
His magic number's one.
That's a big if, Blooper.
Petco Park will host its first college basketball game on Saturday, December 5th, as part of the Bill Walton Basketball Festival of Life. The San Diego State Aztecs and the University of San Diego Toreros will compete on an outdoor court on the infield. Tickets are on sale now at Padres.com/bball. Going to be an amazing day here at Petco Park. Head-to-head challenge coming up right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Just under an hour until first pitch in Los Angeles. Robbie Erlund versus Zach Greinke. It's time for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. And like I said, this thing is right down to the wire. Blooper won yesterday. He took Cody Decker, and that sacrifice fly got him 39 points. The couch has 38, so you're down one.
Can I ask who Kurt took?
He took Corey Spangenberg. So single and an error. We gave the RBI there to Cody Decker. It was a close one.
I understand.
And he picked Cody Decker, and we're going to be partial to Cody Decker. It's just the way it's going to be. So, hey, you've got to win today. If he wins, it's over. And our buddy Juan Largo, he tweeted, is there a trophy for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge?
Yeah.
I think we're going to come up with something.
Well, yeah, only if Blooper buys it, we'll have one.
We're going to come up with something. I don't know.
I have to buy my own trophy?
You should.
Not yet, mate.
But
you
we're excited. We're talking, we talked about a championship belt, something fun. Not really excited about him
we
carrying it around all season.
Randy Jones game worn jersey too. That was
that's right.
Worn.
Randy, you can win
now
your
you
own game
go,
worn jersey.
You want to go deep into my archives?
It has to
you.
Come out of your closet. That's the problem.
What I mean. Interesting.
All right, Randy, you have the first pick today. This is an absolutely important one. Who you got?
Solarte.
That's who I would have chosen.
That's
I agree
who I've
with
got.
Your pick, you which know. Probably bodes not well for you.
Who have you got, Bloke?
Jerko.
Ooh. I don't know about Jerko and Greinke.
See, I was going to say Wallace would have been my second choice.
I have a weird Jerko feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought he might have gone Wallace, a lefty. And
that's what I would have done. Yeah. All right. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. So Yonhervis Solarte versus Jed Jerko, the shortstop hitting in the cleanup spot. Greinke's tough, man. I definitely would have went lefty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Jerko just never had a lot of success in that cleanup spot.
No.
You know,
no.
So.
Hey, this bodes well for the couch. I'm pulling for you, obviously.
I'm definitely liking my chances.
Obviously. All right. Holiday Wonderland is back at Petco Park for the second year, and it's bigger and better than ever. Be transported through a Holiday Wonderland full of fun for the entire family for 12 nights in December. Tickets are on sale now, $15 for adults and $10 for children. More info and tickets at Padres.com/holiday. One more segment with Randy Jones in the 2015 season. It's so sad. Coming up right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Last segment of Padres Social Hour here as we get towards the end of the season. Today is Randy's last appearance on the show. He's going on a well-deserved vacation here shortly. And I guess I'll ask you the same question I asked Corey. What's 2015 going to – what are you going to remember about this season?
The great, you know, baseball experience here at Petco.
Yeah.
The new scoreboard.
Yeah.
On the field I can't get excited about it. I mean,
you got the Kemp cycle.
I mean, no, I see.
That's the one thing, right?
I see pieces. I see pieces here, but you know, to get where we want to get, you know, obviously it's going to be tricky. But I definitely see pieces here, but it's going to have to retool that starting pitching a little bit. And you know, I am a little bit concerned. Yeah, I mean, sure you have Tyson Ross, you have James Shields, so hopefully maybe Andrew Kasher can clear his head this winter and come back and be the pitcher that he can be, you know. And after that, he's kind of wide open right now.
A little different coming into a year like this with expectations.
Exactly, and there's no expectations. We can't build them until we get to spring training or, you know, after the first of the year, find out really who's on the 25-man roster or even 40-man roster for that sake. But it wouldn't surprise me to see 32 pitchers in spring training for 12 spots. It would not surprise me at all.
Not at all.
And I like the competition. You know, you take the 12 best. You know, I like that.
Obviously, the pitching's probably been the biggest struggle this year, and we've seen so many guys. One, guys that had really good, solid years last year, just not be able to turn it over
this
year.
Exactly.
And you've got James Shields, a veteran guy, in the home runs, and Ian Kennedy, the home runs. I mean, can it turn around that quickly for these guys next year? Just getting a fresh start,
yes,
and starting over?
I mean it really can. And I really believe that. I mean, Ian Kennedy is – I know he's a free agent. That doesn't mean he's not going to be here next year. You know, and everybody just get off to a good start. But, you know, like we talked, I mentioned, like, winning 10 in a row or 12 in a row. You know how good your pitching has to be to do that. And our pitching has not been that good enough on a consistent basis to get anything like that done this year. And I know that, you know, they're capable of doing it because we saw it in the prior year. And, you know, that, I think that's imperative. Most of the time, these winning teams, what do you see? Somebody in that starting rotation picks that ball club up, goes slams the door on somebody. You know, like, you know, if it's Greinke or Kershaw, you know, up there in L.A. And we've got to be able to do that here and give that bullpen a little bit of a break and to be more consistent.
What you've seen of Tyson Ross this year, what's his ceiling next year?
He doesn't have a ceiling. I know that Jaron Bosley would say that. I mean, he can be very, very good. What I've seen this last half, I'd like to see him build another year, a little bit more mature, a little more durable, but a little more mentally tough, working a little bit quicker, having more confidence. And that's just the key to getting off to a good start next April. And it's unlimited what that young man can do.
Great stuff, Randy Jones. Hey, man, can't thank you enough for this year. It's been
awesome. Enjoyed it. Had a great time doing this.
Appreciate everything. We're back tomorrow. Bill Center and myself at 10:30. Enjoy the game, everybody.